Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
This is Sean Sutner, writer for Search Health IT. I'm here in San Diego at the HEMA 2014 convention with Mac McMillan, chairman, CEO, and co-founder of Synergistic, and a Marine Corps vet and former director of security for two Department of Defense agencies. Thanks for sitting down with me, Mac.
Oh, I'm pleased to be here.
Great to have you. Okay. On cybersecurity, what are the biggest security risks for EHR vendors?
So I'd say probably some of the biggest challenges for the EHR vendors are the new rules or the changes to the rules that come out and their ability to keep the software up to date with what the customer needs the software to be able to do. And a good example of that perhaps is the restriction requirement in the omnibus rule for folks who want to pay in advance and pay in cash and not have their health plan see the actual information, right? So a lot of times the health plans actually have access to the EHR directly when they come in to run audits and that sort of thing in support of their client. So the question is, how does the hospital keep the health plan from seeing the information, right, if it's not somehow masked? So how does the EHR vendor provide the functionality for the hospital that they need in order to effectively implement the rules that are out there? Same thing when you start thinking about things like minimal necessary, right? How do we determine what minimal necessary is based on who the person is that's accessing the information or sharing the information perhaps? Or another one, we're here at HEMA where we're dealing with health information managers, and there's no module in EHR to facilitate what those people do with respect to restrictions and with disclosures, if you will. So, you know, how does the EHR vendor stay current with what the actual consumer of their product actually need to make that product really work properly for them?
Okay. Does it make you nervous when providers entrust data to third-party cloud-based vendor platforms?
It makes me nervous when they do it without thinking first. Right? So, you know, cloud technology is like any other technology. It's a tool. And if we use it properly, then it's no more of a risk than any other tool that's out there. There's no surefire system out there, right? There's no 100% secure system, et cetera. So if we are just putting clinical data out into the cloud, then I get really nervous. If we are encrypting that data prior to putting it into the cloud, then I'm not quite as nervous, right? If it's a private cloud versus a public cloud where I know where the data is, it's in a site that is here in the United States that is controlled like any other data center, et cetera, but it's just run as a cloud environment, then I'm a lot more confident than if the provider is a public cloud provider and it's scattered all over the place.
Okay. Do you see more providers going with cloud services like Amazon Web Services? And if so, does that worry you at all?
Again, it worries me for the same reasons that I just mentioned. I think there's more and more people, and I think more and more hospitals are moving to the cloud for services, cloud for infrastructure, cloud for applications, appliances. We have EHRs in the cloud now, for instance. And it all makes sense from a business perspective and a supportability and a financial perspective. The question is, have we really thought it through from a security perspective, and have we taken the right precautions and made sure that we have the right protections when we do that? The Amazon cloud is no different than any other cloud in the sense that it, like everything else, is effective or ineffective is however you use it.
What are the other protections other than encryption that you can use with the cloud?
Well, the cloud vendors themselves provide certain protections in terms of access to the data and certain features that they provide, like two-factor authentication, et cetera. And I think when you look at a lot of the threats that we have out there today that really are trying to take advantage of the user and trying to take advantage of getting access to a user's credentials or whatnot, you know, we probably ought to be using more two-factor authentication so that even if you get my password or someone's password, you still have to have that second factor or you're not going to be able to get into the application or the data or what have you. And you can utilize those things on data that you've stored in the cloud.
Is the ransomware threat real?
It is absolutely real. In fact, literally 3 weeks ago, we had a situation where a business associate who does business with a number of hospitals contacted us and said that they had been hit with ransomware. Their entire network and their data and their clients' data had been encrypted, and of course they had gotten the ransom note. Unfortunately, in this case, they had not backed up their data, so they literally were owned, at least at the moment, by the hacker. Fortunately, there's good news here, and that is that we were able to actually recover all of the data from shadow files that were on the disk. Now, it wasn't pretty, and they had to do a tremendous amount of work to reconstitute those files and put it all back together again. And I'm certain that it probably impacted their business because their business was processing claims bills for hospitals, and so those hospitals missed at least one billing cycle, if not more, and I'm assuming that probably had some impact on the business. But it's a classic example of what you're talking about, where your supply chain is an important part of your security today, and it's a weak link for a lot of our healthcare organizations that don't take the time to make sure that who they're doing business with are credible actors.
Okay, so what's your advice to CIOs on state-of-the-art yet affordable security?
Well, first thing is that a lot of security is common sense. It's doing the basics, which we need to cover before we start trying to go after some of the other stuff. But most of these things, you know, I tell folks, look at where your data is. Look at what you're doing with your data, how you're using it, where it needs to be. A lot of our problems can be solved by being smarter about how we manage the data in terms of overcomplicating our environment by pushing it out all over the place, right? Secondly, you know, look at the solutions that you have, and if you're talking about third parties in terms of vendors, absolutely vet those people before you do business with them. Provide them with that security questionnaire as part of that RFP process. Make them provide evidence to you that they know what they're doing and that they have the right functionality, if you will, to help you protect your data in their environment. And then secondly, don't trust them after you do that. Meaning, still protect your data first. A lot of companies use the cloud for a lot of things, but not everybody just puts their data in the cloud. There are people who are smart enough to encrypt that information before they put it in the cloud and keep those keys somewhere else, so that even if that cloud vendor is compromised or that hosting site is compromised, your data is not going to be compromised as part of that incident.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit about HIPAA? What are the biggest security risks involved in safeguarding patients' private health information, yet allowing patients access to their own PHI?
So I think today the biggest threat that we still have in HIPAA is unfortunately insider misuse and abuse of privilege. That's why we have so much fraud. That's why we have so much ID theft in healthcare, because there's a lot of information there that's valuable and it's so accessible. And we're not doing a good enough job of one, restricting access to that information, and two, monitoring who's touching that information. With respect to allowing folks to have access to their information, I think the biggest issue is just knowing who is accessing the data, making sure that you are, in fact, using the right controls. That even if it's my information, I still need to prove that it's me that's accessing the information. And then the whole issue around uses and disclosures and whatnot, which is very challenging for organizations today.
Okay, so last question I have for you today, Mac. The ONC is talking about interoperability. That's their number one policy goal this year. Do big advances in interoperability that we expect to come also create equally big new security threats?
actually they solve a lot of our security threats in the sense that in order to have real interoperability, usually that means you also first have to have standards, meaning you have to come up with consistent ways that we do things. And one of the friends to security is consistency, right? It's the more sprawl you have, the more diversity you have, the more access you have, that makes security that much more challenging. The more consistency you have, the more standards-based approaches you have to how you build systems, how you connect systems, how you communicate between systems, that's actually a friend to security. So, you know, if they are actually successful at their goal of achieving some level of interoperability between systems in healthcare, which means they're also going to have to address the whole issue of agreeing to standards in the industry, I think that actually that will further security in the industry as opposed to create more challenges.
Well, that was interesting, and thanks for being here with me at Ahima Mac. It was stimulating, informative. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.